Davidson.
No, that's not right.
The opposite might be true. But anyway, we are here with you today with a very special episode talking about what all of us are talking about. Corona.
I'm getting crazy in quarantine with Corona.
So we had a little bit of an experience coming home from Vietnam, just in terms of having flights be canceled, not knowing if we were going to be able to get back, not knowing when we should come back, and all that kind of stuff. So we figured that there might be some other travelers out there who had similar experiences. We put a little post up on Instagram and got some people to get back to us. And so we've got some conversations with them that we're going to bring to you.
We do. Both shocking and also expected. I mean, I think we all kind of thought that there would be more security coming back in these like precious 2 weeks or 3 week period that everyone's been traveling in. It's really shocking, actually, some of the stuff. Mm-hmm. No wonder it's spreading so much.
True that.
But you can hear it from the horse's mouth.
Yeah. So we're just going to start here. We want to just talk a little bit about our journey home, which was we did it 3 weeks earlier than we planned. So we were supposed to come home March 26th, and we ended up coming home on Leanne's birthday.
Mm-hmm. And I've already lost my tan after 3 weeks in Wisconsin.
That's how terrible of a boyfriend I am.
Uh-huh.
But we made it, and we're safe and sound for the most part in Wisconsin. And just trying to work through all this.
Mm-hmm.
But so it was kind of the end of January when we started catching wind of the virus. We were still in the northern part of India, doing the Golden Triangle Loop. And I was just paying more attention to it probably than...
Definitely than I was.
Definitely than Leanne was, but definitely probably more than a lot of people. I just follow the news pretty closely.
And you're just on Twitter?
Yeah.
And I'm not.
That's where I get my news from.
Yep.
So I seem to have some pretty good follows on Twitter where I see some people that I trust, and it doesn't seem like it's partisan at all. So I was able to just kind of see this coming. It didn't look like a good trajectory, so it was probably middle of February or maybe a little earlier than that when I said to Leanne, like, let's move our flight from the 26th to the 15th. So we bumped it up there, and so we did that, and then I don't know, it was maybe like
our flight got canceled, didn't it?
Yeah, so our original flight was going through China, and obviously that got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
If you're out there and you have a flight that they're booking and it's going to go through China, they are still booking flights, but they will just cancel them, and then they'll keep your
the taxes, isn't it?
They'll keep your taxes and little additional fees. You're going to end up losing like $30 or $40. So just don't book anything going through China, and really
just be really careful. We shouldn't really be booking anything right now.
No,
but if you do have to, just be really cautious about where you're booking through. Because I nearly booked like our second and third flights, like because they kept coming up in advertisements. Everything was Chinese, and I was like, why are you possibly selling flights still, because every country was closed to China.
So we looked at flights trying to get back in every which direction. Every time we would book something, it would immediately get canceled. So fortunately, we ended up getting full refunds after having to go through a little bit of a process to do that with the Chinese airline.
Yeah.
But then we just, I really, at the very end of February, first part of March, I started getting more nervous about what was going on. So I told Leanne that I wanted to move it up even further. At this point, we were traveling with her good friend, Hannah, and we told Hannah that we were thinking about doing it, and she was understanding.
Yeah.
Considering that it wasn't what it is now. This is roughly about a month ago when we're recording this, and it just wasn't as serious as it is now, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but we did that, so we moved it to Leanne's birthday, March 9th, everybody. Send gifts. Send money.
Send money, and, cash money.
And so we did that and just ended up getting on a flight. We had to book a flight the opposite way around the world. So normally from Asia to get to the States, you'd fly over the Pacific. We had to go the opposite direction.
Yeah, 40 hours of travel.
It was something.
40.
But the main takeaways that I'll give you guys is that on March 9th, I was already surprised how few people in the airport were... Social distancing wasn't really a word yet.
Yeah.
That really just came up a couple days after we got back. But It was a, yeah, we were on the flights. They were busy. They were chock full of people. There wasn't really anything at any of the airports in any of the countries that we were in, which were Vietnam, Qatar, no, Oman, Chad.
Doha.
Qatar. Yeah, circle back.
Same, but different.
Yeah. So it was Vietnam, Qatar, and then the States.
Chicago, and yeah.
So we flew straight from Qatar to Chicago, and the biggest surprise that we had is we were expecting to probably sit in the longest customs line that we've ever been in.
Bearing in mind, Chicago here is one of the biggest travel hubs in the United States for airports. We'd been on the border of China. We had all of our stamps. You know, we've been in Vietnam. We've been in Thailand. We'd had all of our stamps. We were completely honest. Or Corey was, because he got asked where we'd been from.
Yeah.
I'm not a US citizen. And not even my customs agent didn't even ask me if I'd been to China. He didn't ask where I had been. He just hit on me and then was like, welcome home.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I don't know if you actually read my passport. I'm not a citizen, but
it was ridiculous. I went through, the guy asked, have you been to China or Iran recently? And I said, nope. And I said, I suppose at this point you're going to probably start having to ask people and include Italy on that list. And he said, oh, yeah, I forgot. I should be asking if you've been to Italy too. Have you been there? And I just like shook my head and was like, no, I haven't been there either. He didn't open my passport to see if I was lying or not. He was just like, have a good time.
No one's taking temperatures.
So this is March 9th. This just kind of caught us off guard. So over the last couple of weeks, as we were taking a break and kind of getting into our quarantine flow, we just started thinking maybe there's some other people out there with some stories. So we've reached out to some people. We've got some good ones to share with you guys. And we're going to start with Taylor. Leigh, why don't you tell him a little bit about what Taylor had to say?
Yeah, so Taylor and her husband were taking their honeymoon. Congratulations. And, you know, they'd worked up all year to save for this, and they were going out to Australia and New Zealand. And, yeah, well she explains pretty much what happened, but she just got back a few days ago to the States, into San Francisco, and it's this, very much the same.
Pretty alarming. So very take a listen, and when we get done with that, we'll recap it a little bit and then lead you into our next interview. We're going to have three of these interviews. So hope you guys enjoy this kind of a unique episode. Stay safe and motherfucking stay home.
Yep. I know, everyone, we're all going crazy, but you got this. You got this.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Sorry about that.
We can hear
you. That's okay.
When did you guys get married?
We got married last May. Okay. So almost a year ago. We got married May 18th? And we wanted to wait until it was sort of just not winter in New Zealand to go down there.
Yeah, you want to go in some of that.
Yeah. So we waited. We were like, oh, the fall, it'll be nice there.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. It was gorgeous. But so we waited, saved up a little bit more money. And then decided to go.
Yeah. And how long was your trip planned for?
We left on March 4th.
Yeah.
And we obviously got there on the 6th. And then we were supposed to come home on March 31st. So it was just about 4 weeks.
And when was the original idea for the trip? Was it before the wedding even? Did you guys buy tickets well in advance?
I did some sort of, I would call it brainstorming. Before the wedding, just kind of like, okay, well, where do you want to go? In fact, we have two friends that have subsequently taken honeymoons to New Zealand because we were just taking too long to actually get there. So they've gone, but so we had done some planning, but then I didn't really start planning until about October of last year. That's when I actually like bought our tickets, our airfare. So then after that, it was kind of, you know, just planning a little bit here and there, trying to figure out where to go, what to do, the route we were going to take, all that kind of stuff.
Nice.
And then in terms of how the, you know, just how things came to be throughout January and February, I'm guessing, I don't know, because I feel like maybe we were exposed to different things. I was pretty on top of this in the middle of January when we were still in India. And I'm just kind of curious if you guys were watching it and if you were having any hesitance towards making the decision to go.
Yeah, so when we, like January, February, we really, one of the things we were concerned about was I don't know if you guys know what Milford Sound is in New Zealand. It's like the place to go, right?
Yeah.
The road had gotten washed out to Milford Sound. I think it was in January, late January, maybe early February. That was honestly the only thing we were watching at that point. So we couldn't have gone there. We were like, oh no, our campsite, we can't drive our car out there. The road's gone. Literally, that is what we were watching. It was, in hindsight, so pathetic. But here in the States, because you guys weren't here. So, we started keeping an eye on it maybe mid-February. Just because I was like, well, I don't know, maybe we can just get out of the States and get to New Zealand and then it'll be fine. Because I think it was it the middle of February when the EU had their restrictions put on them? Something like that, So I was like, well, maybe we can just get out and it'll be fine in New Zealand. we'd been looking forward to it for so long. It was like, nothing is going to stop us.
Well, that's after all the planning and you've saved up and you're like, okay, no, I've earned this, I'm going. I get that. I think a lot of people had that kind of headspace about traveling during this as well. So do you have any second thoughts now looking back? So you were in New Zealand for what, like 2 weeks now?
Just over 2 weeks. Yes and no. Yes, because the last, I don't know, sort of 5-6 days or so were just kind of a mess. It was like, oh, look, here, let's look at this beautiful glacier. But in the back of my mind, are we going to get stuck in this country for the next 4 weeks? Now let's drive on to the next thing. So it sort of ruined the last half of it, I would say. It gradually got worse, right? When we had to change our flights from, coming home from Australia versus coming home from New Zealand instead of skipping Australia. It was sort of like, oh, whatever, that's okay. It's not going to be that bad. We're still here. It's great. But then it slowly, got worse. Oh, no, we're going to get stuck here.
We're not going to be able to get back into America. So with that bearing in mind, would you back out and go at a later date, or would you still do what you guys did?
I probably would not
have
gone if this happened again, and whatever. It would have been unfortunate because I think at that time when we were about to leave, none of the airlines were being cooperative. If you canceled, you lost everything. In hindsight, we kind of lost money anyway, but, as you guys know, I 100% do not recommend traveling during a pandemic. Isn't the best idea. Even if you are on an island that has, New Zealand, when we left, had less cases than San Diego County. So it was like, well,
we're safe. We're just as safe there.
What was the vibe there like? Were they taking it seriously at all?
Yeah, so the only time we found out anything was going wrong was when our phones connected to Wi-Fi somewhere. We had an international phone, and so we got updates every once in a while, but when we connected to Wi-Fi, it was like, my parents were texting me. Siblings were sending me things on Instagram. Have you seen this? Here's this state trip. So, people were concerned, yes, but for most of the time we were there, it was like nothing had ever happened. Like nothing was happening until about probably 3 days before we left, we started having to sign in wherever we went. Time, date, where we live, what's our phone number, what's our email. That way if someone was there, contracted it, they would, I guess, allegedly contact you.
Oh, that's a smart if people actually do it.
right. So we had to start doing that. And then, we'd check into a holiday park and there'd be a cone barrier in front of the check-in desk and we'd have to kind of chuck our stuff at them at the desk. So that was probably the last 3 days of the trip. But other than that, it was nothing. You wouldn't have even known.
I know they just went on lockdown quite recently, actually, because I have friends out in Australia still and it was only I think Friday or last Friday that they went on lockdown. And I was really chill.
Yeah, so we left on Monday and then on, what was it? I think it was 2 hours before we left, they went to tier 3 or something.
Oh, okay.
And then 2 days later, they went down to the full lockdown. I don't know. If we would have waited maybe 2 more days, it might not have been that great.
How did the flight changing go?
None of our flights actually ever got canceled. We had a flight obviously down to New Zealand, which we took fine. Uh-huh. And then we had a flight from Christchurch over to Melbourne. Yeah. And then we had a flight home direct from Melbourne to LAX. So that was the extent of the flights that we went down there with.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when everything went sideways, we had our international phone line and we like called Chase, which is how I did it. I mean, I saved up and booked all these points and bought all of our tickets with points.
Nice.
And so we called Chase on an international phone and sit on hold for 3 hours, deplete all our international minutes, and then just give up and try and buy like a new ticket. So
that's so frustrating.
I know. Yeah, it was, so that's what we did. You know, I was, when we changed our flight from the 31st to the 29th to leave just from New Zealand, mm-hmm. we were like, whoa, these tickets one way are like $300. Yeah. So I was like, yes, this is great. Yeah. I mean, I paid for them with like half points. It was perfect. And then that was fine. And then after that, it was not fine. It was chaotic. You couldn't get a hold of anyone. You know, the airline websites now are easy. You can just go on and cancel. But when we were doing it, we couldn't.
Yeah.
Or make changes or nothing. So
what route did you take home then? So obviously you couldn't get into Melbourne, right? So
Right.
Did you go via Hawaii or?
So we couldn't get over there. So we booked a flight home. The flight mm-hmm. was supposed to leave, I think, we booked it on the 20th mm-hmm. and it was going to leave on the 22nd. And it was like the cheapest flight we could find.
Mm-hmm.
And so we booked it and it was going to take us from Christchurch mm-hmm. to Sydney and then from Sydney to Honolulu and then Honolulu to LAX.
Okay.
So that was our initial flight home.
Yeah.
I kind of was texting Corey about this.
Yeah.
This is where we ran into the problem. Our flight home that we took was Auckland to LA or to Auckland to San Francisco.
Yeah.
That was our original, that was the flight we actually took home. But
okay.
the one that we initially booked, we booked it on the 20th. We were supposed to fly on the 22nd. You know, the flight was at like 6:15 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to the airport at like 3 a.m. The airport didn't open until 3:30 and then no one showed up until 4 or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's lines out the door.
Wow. Oh my God.
And outside. Well, we're all waiting in the dark.
Oh.
And then we all get in. It's a mad rush.
Yeah.
To get to the counter. So we were on Qantas at this point for this leg. And so we get up to the front desk. We're like third in line. We did the online check-in. We're like, yeah, we're smart. We're like third in line. And the other line. The other line is like 200 people deep.
Oh my God.
Like out the door. We would never have got like, it would have been, no.
Ugh. And you just imagine with the virus as well, that's just like something
right.
that...
there's like a kid tour. I think, I don't know where they were from, but it was like, they had like adult chaperones and there were like 50 kids that were probably 10 to 12, all just like right next to each other on their phones. And I'm just like, oh my God, stop.
Oh gosh. And did you have any trouble when you did get back in or on any of those flights, actually, you know, people taking your temperatures or asking you the right questions? Did you go through all of that?
No, nothing. Absolutely nothing. I mean, we have global entry.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know if it maybe is different because of that. Could you know, be. We just walk up to get our face and fingerprints and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was different for anyone else, but for us, wow. no one asked where we had been. No one told us. I think the rule was if you come from a tier 3 country, you're required to self-isolate for 14 days when you get home.
Yeah.
And technically when we left, New Zealand was a tier 3.
Yeah.
But nothing, not a single.
We had the same thing.
This
come
was what
in.
Surprised us.
That was the one thing that absolutely shocked me because there were people, you know, being in the airport for 2 days straight, basically, I overheard people saying, like, they were trying, where was this girl from? I think this girl was from London, and she was trying to get home, right? But she can't, like, all the flights stopped, like, somewhere in Asia and then go over, so she couldn't do any of those. And so she found one to Thailand, and it, she booked the flight, showed up, and they're like, oh, where's your physical? And she's like, what? And you're like, you have to go get your temperature taken and get this done and have a $100,000 bond. She's like,
gosh.
Okay, so I'm not getting on this plane then, I guess.
Yeah, oh my
God. And that was just Thailand.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Yeah, we didn't do anything. That was like the biggest shock to me.
Yeah.
Wild. Well, I mean, I'm happy that you guys got back. I'm sure you're relieved.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, just to try and end this on a positive, like we try to do, what was your favorite memory? And are you guys planning a redo honeymoon?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. Yes. Absolutely. We're already in the North Island, so now we can just go straight to the South Island and just do, because the South Island is where we had all the, like, the really fun stuff, right? Whitewater rafting and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yes, we're going back. We have to use these airline vouchers within a year, so it'll probably be within the next year.
Yeah.
And then our favorite part. Oh, what was our favorite? We did blackwater rafting.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it was cave diving, or not diving, just like cave walking.
Yeah. Like canyoneering.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Cool. And so then, we got to sit in a river and float down with the tube and like look at the glowworms like hanging from the ceiling.
Oh, I've been there. It's in the north. Yeah. It's near Rotorua, isn't it? It's the Waitemu Caves or something like that. The glow
so that
so
that's
cool.
The big one. That's the big touristy one where you're like in a boat and they just like go with you. This one you're actually, we got in like full, it's like big, like 5 mil thick wetsuits and like actually got to sit in our own little black inner tube and like float down this underwater, this underground
river.
That is
so cool.
So cool.
So it was more of like the adventure version of glowworm.
Yeah,
you couldn't do it if, you know, kids couldn't really do it because you have to walk a lot and stuff, so.
That's cool.
But yeah, that was really fun, and that was sort of at the end of the trip, so it was kind of like, that was a nice break where we actually got to, like, not think about any of the craziness going on.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad you managed to enjoy yourself still, then.
Yeah,
good.
We did.
Awesome. No, that's fantastic. Fun. That's, I mean, what a great, what an unbelievable just memory.
Yeah, right, just a story. Right? You'll remember this in 20 years.
Totally. I know everyone's going to be asking us, oh, how was travel during the coronavirus? Well, not fun.
Well.
But, but we did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, we just want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you guys so much, and good luck, and I can't wait to hear all these stories.
Yeah. Right.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
All right, well, thank you so much to Taylor. That was really interesting. Yep. Hell of a honeymoon.
Yep, one to remember.
Indeed.
And next, we are going to speak to a Small World podcast favorite.
Almost a regular.
Our good friend, the great Matthew Delay Dallas Palma.
Here's Matt. So now we are here with Mr. Matthew Dallas Palomar.
Not once, not twice, but thrice featuring on the Small World podcast.
Absolutely. Matt, how are you?
I'm good. I'm cold. I'm currently on top of a mountain, but I'm good.
Currently on top of a mountain in Alaska. No one quarantines like Dallas.
No. I've come from the Swiss Alps to the Alaskan mountains. No one quite lived a life. Of Mr. Dallas here.
So to continue with our theme of trying to get some kind of unique travel stories that people have had throughout the last month of this, Matt has been having probably one of the best quarantines of anyone that I've seen so far. Yeah. When did you go to Spain, and did you know, was the coronavirus relevant when you were making those plans?
So the start of the whole coronavirus thing, because I remember originally I was with you guys in India, and it was still kind of just like a blip on everyone's radar. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, oh, coronavirus, but it wasn't like a global thing. And then when I was in Siargao in the Philippines, then it was hard to get my flight back home, because that's when all the flights in like Southeast Asia and stuff started to get, you know, canceled or rerouted.
Mm-hmm.
But I ended up flying back to the U.S. without any, it was just normal. I mean, my flight got canceled once, and then it was uncanceled because of a travel ban to Taiwan, and I was passing through Taiwan. But other than that, everything was normal. There was no checks. Nobody said anything about it. I just flew into the U.S., and I was in Seattle for a week. And then the day after I left Seattle was when it hit Seattle with a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of like the start of it all. But then it kind of, the U.S. wasn't really worried about it at that point, you know? And then
And this is like mid-February? Is that what we're talking about here? Like
That was at the end of February.
Okay.
And then I flew to Spain. I was home in Wisconsin for a week, and then I flew to Spain March 9th. And that's when it was starting in Italy, but it wasn't as bad as it is now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I got to Spain, and then that's when it started to, like, really break out in, like, France and Italy and Switzerland and Spain. And so the person that I was with in Spain, we were like, ooh, because they were talking about a lockdown and being locked down in like a city like Madrid. Like they're not allowed to leave. Like they can't go to the park. Like they're patrolled. Like the police officers tell you to go home.
Yeah.
So that was the last place that we wanted to be for like who knows how long.
Mm-hmm.
So we flew to Switzerland. And we were actually on, we booked the flight at like midnight the night before because we were debating like should we go this like tomorrow or the next day. And thankfully we went the next day because then that was the last day that they, like Spain locked down that day and you weren't able to fly from Spain to Switzerland anymore.
Shit.
I mean, you guys, looks like you made a really, really great decision because it was just like this little village in the middle of the Swiss Alps. Yeah. That
one
was
could
just
almost suggest that Matt's actually one of the main spreaders because he, what, it happens to hit Seattle and that just happens to hit the day after he leaves.
After he was in Asia, and he is just tracking this.
And then Madrid, he just happens to leave and the day after, everything's on lockdown. And then we
finally have him quarantined on a mountain in Alaska, so hopefully he'll stop the mess.
You know what, I didn't think about that, but I would have had to have it for, like, months, because this is over a period of, like, a month, and I couldn't possibly have had it that whole time, if I even had it, or had it.
Hey, whatever you need to do to help yourself sleep.
Now, because it's kind of, like, unknown.
Yeah.
You know what?
So what I kind of want to get to next is, you had this, it looked like, you know, obviously some pretty great times in Switzerland,
mm-hmm.
with the family that you were with, and you guys just kind of lived the home life, cooking a bunch of food, taking walks, and having some amazing views and everything. I think I remember you guys like at one point training a swan. But anyway, your experience coming home from there seemed to be, were you booking flights and having them canceled left and right? Is that kind of what was going on the last week or so?
Yeah, so that was difficult because I was there and I was, this is what the situation everybody's in who was abroad. It's like you're really uncertain whether like you should stay and wait like another mm-hmm. week before you book a flight or you yeah. just go then. So I was in that situation for like weeks because I didn't have my flight home. So I was just like every day monitoring the situation because there was new travel bans. You know, the U.S. is banning European travelers and the EU is banning anybody else who wasn't EU. And it was just like really hard to like navigate, like, should I buy a flight then or not? Because, yeah. or do I need to wait and see what else they ban? So that was kind of like the stress of getting a ticket back. And then I did decide on a ticket because I found one that went, there's no direct flights back, none, because the U.S. is directing all international flights through, like, 13 specific airports just to, like, reduce, like, the amount of areas that people are flying into.
Yeah.
So there is no direct flights, and I'm trying to get to Juneau, which is not, you can't take a direct flight here anyway to Alaska. You have to pass through Seattle. So I had to go from Geneva through Paris to L.A., L.A. to Seattle, and then Seattle to Juneau to get here.
Did you notice anything?
You wanted to make it shorter.
Yeah, did you notice anything different at any of the airports? Because you just did this, what, like 4 or 5 days ago, right?
Yeah, and honestly, no.
So
they
bad.
Pretty much operated the same, the ones that I went through. They were much more empty,
mm-hmm.
and the flights were less frequent, so obviously that's why it was more empty, but in terms of, like, checking or like standard, people were doing this, so like standing distances away. Apparently the airport said that they're, you know, doing sanitation methods, so I don't know, maybe at night they're doing more cleaning than they usually do.
Yeah.
And then the planes, before you board them, I guess the planes are doing extra sanitation methods as well, but you don't really see any of that. They just kind of tell you that it's happening. But in terms of like the operation of the airports, everything was pretty much the same. It was just less people, so there was, you know, less security lines. There was all the check-in gates are closed. Like all the check-in, mm-hmm. when you go into the airport, if you haven't checked in before, they were all closed.
Mm-hmm.
But there was nothing in terms of trying to like check people for like health monitoring.
Yeah.
Really, the only airport that did that was actually Juneau Airport, the small, tiny airport in Alaska.
Trying to contain
the
it.
Only one that, like, they handed out paperwork about the about the virus. They handed out paperwork about the lockdown. They handed out, and they did voluntary, the temperature.
Okay.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So they did the most. But honestly, LA, when I flew into the U.S., it was nothing. They literally did nothing.
Did anyone ask immigration? Did anyone ask where you'd been or anything? Did anyone ask about if you've been to China or Italy or anywhere like that or Spain?
No, that's nothing. Awful. And this is like after the U.S. has already been hit, and they still aren't asking anything.
Yeah.
And after the Spain has been hit so badly, and you had been in Spain. I mean, it's just wild how they're just not regulating that at all. It's just surprising that there's just not more stops.
Yeah, I think they're mainly just, like, assuming that if you were there, that when you come to the U.S., you're just going to self-quarantine for 2 weeks. Like, I don't think they really have a legal way to, like, put you in quarantine in the U.S. You know, as a U.S. citizen, I don't think they can just, like, take you and be like, you're restricted from going anywhere for 2 weeks. But they have to, like, they kind of expect you to just do it.
Well,
come on, we all know human beings, and that's just not.
Yeah. If you had been in the you had been near the Wuhan province in China, they were doing a mandatory quarantine in like a military base, so they can do it.
That's the only thing. It's like only when it was Wuhan did they care, and then after it spread, it was kind of just like, oh, it's too late.
This is everywhere.
It just seems like if they would have seen your passport and seen like, ooh, you were in Spain like the second week of March, maybe we should actually quarantine you. That would actually make logical sense. But yeah, I mean, I'm happy that it didn't happen, but. That's just kind of one of the things that
I know what you're saying. It's weird. I expected it to be more as well.
We went through the same thing.
Well, we appreciate it and hope that your quarantine in Alaska keeps going as well as the rest of your quarantine has been. Hopefully you switch from Swiss Alps to amazing Alaskan mountains and whales.
At least you know where to find salmon. You won't be stuck for food.
No, I feel pretty set up here for the next however long this goes on.
Well, that's good. Well, stay safe. And
we
stay happy.
Really appreciate it. Thank you, Matt.
Bye.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Matt. That was a heck of a story. We feel so bad for your miserable quarantine.
Of course, awful. But it is quite alarming that the airports are checking at this point. But
2 for 2.
Yeah, really, really weird, really interesting.
Unbelievable. But our next story is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. This is a sister of one of Leanne's good friends.
Mm-hmm.
And Lexi has been down in El Salvador since the first part of March and is currently still there. And since she lives in New York City, she's opted not to come home. But she can tell her story better than we can.
Yeah.
So here's Lexi.
So we are with Lexi, who lives in New York City, and she is currently stranded in El Salvador. So thank you for speaking with us today, Lexi. And what brought you to El Salvador, and how long have you been there for?
So this is my third time visiting. Oh, well, hi, everybody. So this is my third time to El Salvador. The first time that I came was in August of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
And I just became kind of obsessed with this place and the people here. So I came back again for Christmas, and then I was here for 3 weeks. And then I came back in March just to surf and reconnect with the people that I had met back in December. And I ended up flying in. I arrived here March 11th, which was the day that they closed the border.
Oh, wow. Here.
That's so crazy. But yeah, I really just came for kind of like a surf trip, vacation, and ended up staying here now for, I think it's been like a month now that I've been here.
Yeah, and what was the original plan for how long to stay, and then what's your current situation?
Yeah, so I was only going to stay for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
I was supposed to leave on March 23rd, and then the president was really quick here, which was great for the people of El Salvador. Quick to close the border and quick to take action to make sure that everybody is staying inside and kind of quarantining themselves. So that's basically what happened. Is I was here and probably 5 days before I was supposed to leave, he shut down the airport, mm-hmm. president. And so then I was definitely, you know, kind of stuck here. I don't really like to say stuck, I guess, because I actually feel pretty peaceful being here. But they, since then, have the embassies been working with the El Salvador government here to organize evacuation flights.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've had the opportunity to leave, and I've actually just decided to stay because I don't feel comfortable traveling, and I live in New York, and obviously that's labeled the epicenter of the virus in the United States, and so I felt like it was better just mentally and physically to stay put.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, that's really had to be a big decision to be like what to do. But I mean, as you've watched your decision pan out over the last few weeks, it's just kind of proven correct.
Yeah, and I think it was a really hard decision. And I think when you have two choices in front of you, there's always a lot of anxiety until you decide on one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was toggling between going home and being back in the United States, and because it's a little bit scary to be out of your home country at a time like this. But ultimately, I kind of decided that that wasn't really the safest place for me, having to travel in the midst of all of this. So
yeah, I think that's smart.
What's the visa situation?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Maybe not supposed to be here. Not quite sure.
Yeah, like
it's El Salvador.
I didn't need anything to be here for like 10 days, and I don't know what consecutive amount of time you need to secure a visa to remain here, but I also know that these are different times than most.
I mean, I think the worst that happened is you probably get a fine when you leave the airport, but then I'm sure if you're like, hey, look, I was here, so I'm sure you'll be.
I doubt that'll happen.
Yeah, I very highly doubt. Yeah. So what is the plan then? Are you just going to stay there and just wait it out until New York is safe and just for however long that may be, whether it's months, weeks?
Yeah, apparently the airport is going to open for commercial flights on April 18th is when commercial flights will become available.
Okay, so that's soon, yeah.
So, I mean, that's now. I don't know if that will change. I think the issue for me is traveling, like I said, and going back to New York. Even if the airport's open here, I'm not sure that I really feel comfortable going back. So at this moment in time, just playing it day by day. I think it's hard to make a plan.
Yeah.
When everything's so up in the air and changing, and I'm trying to be calm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scary situation, but one of the things I learned through my surf lessons is that there's a difference between fear and panic.
Mm-hmm.
You can have fear, but once you start to panic, you kind of lose all control. So I'm trying not to panic and just kind of play it day by day.
Yeah. And what's the current situation like in El Salvador? Like, are the police patrolling the streets? I guess you're allowed to go for groceries. Are you limited with your activities?
Yeah. So, definitely limited. I don't know if it's officially like a quarantine that's in place, mm-hmm. but you're not allowed to leave your house unless it's for essentials.
Okay.
So the grocery stores are still open. It's like many places. But you also, it's only one person per like vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you can't be in a car with, you're not supposed to be in a car with two people going to a grocery store, one person from your family.
Okay.
Or household can go at a time. You know, they're limiting the amount of people in the grocery stores. They do have military and police patrolling, mm-hmm. for sure.
That can be scary.
Also, yeah, and intimidating. I think also, like, you know, I'm not really totally well-versed in, like, the politics or government of El Salvador, but I do feel that the people here take their military very seriously.
Yeah.
To be inside, they are inside.
Yeah.
Where it's a little bit different in the States. I think people retaliate.
We're very entitled, aren't we? We're very entitled, yeah.
Yeah, it's true. People here listen, and I don't know if that's like out of a fear of the past or what.
So
people are staying inside, going to the grocery when they need things. I've notice, like, from a tourist perspective, it's super interesting because obviously, like, hostels and hotels and stuff are closed, but if you were here when this shutdown happened, like, mm-hmm. they're not going to kick you out. And so I was at a hostel. I decided to get a house with a friend of mine, so we're staying here, but I do have friends that are still in the hostel, and it's okay, you know, like they're really banding together. So they're cooking as a family almost in the hostels. A lot of the hostel owners or the hotel owners here have given all of the guests free stay.
Oh, that's nice. That's very nice.
So they don't have to pay, which I think is great.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think there's so many things to be said, I guess, about the state of things in El Salvador. The virus itself hasn't really permeated the country. There's, I think, 50 reported cases, 3 reported deaths, and that's because the president shut down the border so quickly. A lot of those cases were actually people that were in quarantine and stopped from coming in. So to my knowledge, it hasn't been, like, widespread in the cities or anything, which is great.
That's great.
But a lot of people are out of work, and many people, especially where I'm staying in the beach towns and the coastal towns, like they don't have, their money comes from tourism.
Yep.
Yeah. And so it's really difficult. They, as far as I know, they also don't have unemployment or anything set up here. The government is giving like stipends to every family of, I think, $300.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a one-time thing or a monthly thing, but people are being given money from the government, and I think they have, like, free rent for 2 months and don't have to pay utilities and stuff. So it's good.
That's good to hear.
Still, people are suffering here. A lot of people don't have cars to easily access food. So we've been doing our part to try and rally and get food and stuff to people that we've heard are in need.
Yeah, that's good. We just looked at your story over the last 24 hours, and you've got this great little thing going with this everyday sunset that I saw. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, this sunset thing. So the person that I'm staying with, the two of us got a house. He's a surf instructor here in Zante, El Salvador, and we were talking about things that we could be doing over this time, and he said, I want to show the sunset to everybody.
Yeah, that's great.
Love it.
We love it. We're up in Wisconsin. We're loving it. We're like, oh, yay. Like,
the sunset's beautiful. And, like, some people have access to the sunset around the world still. But a lot of people are in their homes, and they can't see it. And so for us, we were thinking, well, gosh, let's try and figure out a way to stream it. And he has a nice camera and I have my computer. So I taught myself. We taught each other basically how to live stream, and we set up this site where we're asking for donations. So the sunsets are free, but donations are encouraged. And we're taking that money and using it in a variety of places. So far, we've used everything to buy food and deliver it to families that are in need here.
Mm-hmm.
But we may start making financial contributions to other organizations in El Salvador that, like, are a little bit more well-equipped to,
to help out,
get around to all the towns and, like, a little bit better organized than the two of us. So, we're kind of trying to figure out what that is. I think what was kind of interesting is, like, you know, I'm from the States, and it's being hit really hard, and Chimbera, who I'm staying with here, is a local from El Salvador, so we're trying to figure out, like, how can we raise money that benefits both places, and so the World Health Organization is another place we're thinking about giving money to. But yeah, it's been fun. Mostly it's been super fun to, like, learn something new, do a live stream. People appreciate it. Like, we have people that watch every night, and I think we're up to, like, 11 total viewers at one time, but we're gonna start hosting.
You gotta start small.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll absolutely plug it. I think it's such a cool cause, and like for us being up in northern Wisconsin, we're not getting that West Coast sunset, so we're appreciative of that.
But no, that's a really great thing that you're doing. It's awesome. We like to hear things like that. So
what is your hope then? Are you just keeping an open mind and just kind of you said you're going day by day, so trying to get home or anything like that isn't really something that's on your mind. You're just trying to help.
Yeah, I think until home feels safe to be, it's not really a priority right now. Maybe if I lived somewhere outside of New York, I would feel a little bit better about going home.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not to bash New York. It's just, it's more so that, like, I haven't been in my home in New York. I've been, like, I would have to travel to get there, and I just...
Yep. You didn't need to bring that in, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So, it is. It's just kind of like... I don't know, like, I think that this is such a, like, huge opportunity for all of us to sort of practice being comfortable with the unknown.
I love that.
So I'm trying to practice that and find peace with that. At the same time, be, you know, well-equipped and informed and not naive about what's happening and what's the safest measures for me to take. But I also work for myself, and I don't have a lot of work right now, so yeah. It's not like...
Just smart.
Yeah. It's a unique situation. Yeah. I mean, I think that your perspective is something that I feel like a lot of my friends and people that I'm talking to have this, and they're like looking at this as not, oh, woe is me. They're looking at it as an opportunity to maybe slow down their lives or do something positive, learn something new. And I'm just loving that I'm getting a lot of that perspective. And as we've been talking to people trying to put together this episode, it's been a lot of, it's been interesting to see how your airport shut down. The other people that we've chatted with that'll be on this episode, they've been in situations where they haven't necessarily. The U.S. airports were like not doing anything to screen people.
Not asking.
And that was our experience on March 9th flying back from Vietnam. And that's one of the reasons that we decided to do this, because we were just like, well, I wonder where things are at 2 weeks later, but nothing's changed. And that's scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Everybody's experiences during this time are so fascinating, and everyone is having a different experience with it, like both as it relates to the world as a whole, and I think as it relates to each person's individual lives. And I think also, I know a lot of friends of mine who are just sort of reevaluating their work, reevaluating like their location, reevaluating a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. And how they maybe intend to move forward after all of this is done. So yeah, it's a really interesting time and a good time to just try and have a little bit of perspective.
Yeah, and reflect on how lucky and fortunate we all are as well. That's how I feel. It's so true. Feel so lucky. And that's it. You want to help people. So
if you if you have anybody in New York, and I imagine that you do know a lot of people that are probably being affected by this, so we hope the best for them, and we're just super appreciative of your time. I know it was kind of hard for us to connect, but we loved having this, and we're super appreciative. This is just an interesting story.
Thanks so much for having me.
Have a great day, and we'll talk to you again.
Yeah, bye.
Okay, bye.
So thank you so much, Lexi, letting us know how things are down in El Salvador.
Fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and if you guys do want to visit the Sunset page, it is Sunset for Everyone TV on Instagram. We'll write it in the show notes as well, so make sure you check that out to see how you can help and also just see a beautiful sunset.
Yeah, check it out. Sunsetforeveryone.com is their website. Donate if you can. Thank you as always. We appreciate it. Wanted to bring you some travel stories amidst the current pandemic that we're all in together. What an interesting way to make the world feel so small.
Yep, but also makes us feel so fortunate for everything that we do have.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So thank you very much. Don't forget, guys, we've got great stuff on the website. We had a couple of our travel videos, India, Northern Vietnam, come out in the last couple of weeks, and we are...
Sri Lanka's coming soon.
Sri Lanka's almost done, so hold tight for that, but be on the lookout at smallworldspodcast.com, and... hope you guys have a good one.
Stay healthy, stay happy.
Stay safe.